One of my colleagues, who shall be nameless, was talking to me this last week about Palm Sunday. She quickly outlined her plan for the morning. Confused, I asked, "When are you doing the Passion?" She raised her voice and almost spat out the words, "That's a weird, awful story that no one wants to listen to. We're only doing the Palm Gospel." I was speechless, but I was also grateful because she gave me much food for thought, some of which I'll share with you this morning. The liturgies for Holy Week are different from the ones we participate in during the rest of the year. Thanks to our friend Egeria, the traveling nun of the 4th century, we know about how the events surrounding the last days of Jesus were remembered and commemorated in the Holy Land. The procession with palms, the liturgies of the three great Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, they all follow their own pattern, often with nuances that Egeria first noted. The differences are purposeful, for they help us all hear anew the stories that form us as the community of faith. The lessons we hear and the anticipate in are powerful. Symbols and stories that hold power for us are often weird, awful, and scary. I'm so proud of you for being here this morning. You could have stayed home or even ducked out after the procession with palms, but this is not the happiest Sunday of the year. It's the hardest. There's that somewhat crazy excitement at the beginning, but then things go downhill fast. Yet, to skip over this, even to read the shorter form of the Passion Gospel would cheat you of hearing the story from which our lives come. Yes, the story takes time to read. Yes, it is hard to listen to. Yes, it is awful, but it is also the most sacred of our stories. On this Sunday, the entire worshiping community, clergy and lay people alike, all of us together, re-enter the story of Jesus' suffering and death, to hear it not only as Jesus' story, but as the church's story and our story. To hear it as the story that orients us to our relationship to God and to our place in the world. Commentator William Willimon, to hear this story on Passion Sunday, to hear it read aloud in the company of one's brothers and sisters in faith, is to come home. It is, like all homecomings, an experience fraught with pain and some peril. This story is where we are called to live, where we experience anew and what we hold holy. And both Father David and I respect you too much to cheat you of that. This morning we can't just wave palms and shout Hosanna. That's only part of the story. But in the same way, we can't just leave Jesus on the cross or laid in the tomb. Part of the story too. The whole story, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is one great act, God's gift of salvation fulfilled. The Passion narratives were probably the first part of the Gospels to be written down. Those who did the remembering and writing knew it was central to the life of the Christian community. If you go home and look it up in your Bible, you will notice how much space the narratives are given in each of the four Gospels. I invite you to read Matthew's narrative again, looking for the questions, because in Matthew's story, the questions act for insight. Some questions are asked about Jesus. "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" asks Judas of the chief priests. "What is that to us?" the chief priests will ask Judas later in response to his declaration that he has sinned by betraying an innocent man. Jesus himself asked some of the questions. "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour?" he asked those closest to him in the garden. "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit?" is his question to the crowd. Some questions are asked of Jesus. Caiaphas asks, "What is it that they testify against you?" The soldiers mock Jesus, asking, "Who is it that struck you?" Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" and asks the crowd, "Why? What evil has he done?" And then, of course, there is the final question, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" The questions tell us more about the story, more about the people who populate it, more about Jesus. The story gives us some other insights as well. Matthew's account of the crucifixion tells us something about God, for God is present and active for the salvation. It tells us more about Jesus as he struggles with the fear of death, redefines the meaning of kingship, and remains a model of righteousness. The Passion tells us something about ourselves, for it reveals humanity's rejection of God's ways. And this rejection doesn't come from the worst, but from humanity's best. Those who we most expect to respond to Jesus end up rejecting him. And yet at the same time, those without any claim to discipleship surprise us by accepting him. The end of the story prepares us for the resurrection and for the birth. The 12 abandoned Jesus, but new disciples step up to take their place. Simon of Cyrene, the women looking on from a distance, and Joseph of Arimathea. They and the Roman soldiers who confess Jesus as God's son are symbolic representatives for that larger community of Jews, women, and men who will respond in faith and will be formed into the continuing people of God, the church. Jesus, the crucified one, shows us what faithfulness looks like and calls us to walk in his way, even the way of the cross. Each year, the church remembers God and love made present to us in Jesus. Each year, the church invites us to walk through the darkness of Holy Week, trusting that there is more to life than what we see. Each year, the church invites us to faithfulness, to trust that God's love for us is stronger than death.